from the Cyber Hub bunker and studio. You're tuning in to the Cyber Hub podcast. And now for your host and CISO, James Azar.
Good morning, security gang. Welcome to another episode of the Cyber Hub podcast, Thursday, May 23rd, 2023. A busy show for all y'all. I'm pre-recording, just as an FYI. If you're wondering why it's dark in the shot, it's because the sun has not risen yet. However, my travels have started quite early today, and so I wanted to get the show out to all y'all on time. Yesterday, we had an issue on my personal LinkedIn page where the show did not air there for some reason. That's why I urge everyone to go to YouTube and follow us there, and go to X and follow us there. Sometimes there's just streaming issues with LinkedIn. Like most Microsoft products, it intermittently works. So without further ado, we've got a lot to talk about on this morning's show. We're going to get right into it. Again, it's really early. I'm in a different hotel than the one I was in yesterday, which had an espresso machine. This one does not. And so I don't have an espresso. I didn't even grab anything because it's so darn early. It's early as I'm recording this. So without further ado, coffee cup cheers. Welcome to the show. Let's go ahead, get the ball rolling. We've got a lot to talk about. Again, jamesazar.substack.com is where you can find all of our exclusive writing. And you can also follow us on your favorite social media platforms and podcast listening platforms. Make sure to subscribe. Give us 5-star ratings there. Let's go ahead and get going with GitHub releasing patches for a critical severity vulnerability in their enterprise servers that could allow an unauthenticated attacker to obtain admin privileges. This specific CVE is CVE 2024-49085. The authentication bypass issue impacts enterprise server instances that rely on SAML SSO authentication and have the optional encrypted assertion feature enabled. Again, the bypass issue exists on GitHub enterprise server instances that are using SAML single sign-on authentication as well as have the optional encrypted assertion feature enabled. The reason I say that is because not all vulnerabilities are created equal. Not all of them can be taken advantage. Meaning, if you check box both of those, your SSO, and you have the optional encrypted assertion enabled on an enterprise server, this definitely applies to you. If you don't, put it's not applicable. It's still a bug, but it impacts those specific features the most. The exploitation of this specific vulnerability would allow a criminal to gain unauthorized access to the instance without requiring prior authentication. This impacts all versions of the GitHub Enterprise Server prior to version 3.13.0, according to the NIST advisory. According to GitHub, however, the encrypted assertions are not enabled by default, which is important here. Because they're not enabled by default, meaning you have to physically have enable them in order for that to happen. And if that's the case, then you want to make sure you get that address. So that CVE is resolved. Ivanti patches and issues an additional patch fixing several critical vulnerabilities in their endpoint manager. There are several CPEs there. 6 out of the 10 security defects were resolved in the EPM, are critical severity SQL injection bugs that could allow an unauthenticated attacker on the network to execute arbitrary code. Those are CVEs 2024-29822 and 29827. The bug impacts the core server of Ivanti's EPM 2022 SU5 and previous releases and has a CVSS score of 9.6. The software vendor also released hotfixes for EPM 2022 SU5 and provided detailed instructions on customers on how customers could update. Patches for the bugs would also be included in future versions of EPM. Ivanti also announced patches for their high-severity unrestricted file upload bug in the web component of Ivanti Avalanche that would let a criminal execute code with system privileges. Patches were rolled out for 5 other high-severity vulnerabilities as well, an SQL injection, an unrestricted file upload bug for neurons for ITSM, a CRLF injection flying connect secure, and 2 local privilege escalation issues in secure access client for Windows. So you want to make sure you get your Ivanti's patched up and ready to go. Microsoft yesterday outlined its plans to depreciate VBScript or VBS, the Visual Basic Script, in the second half of this year in favor of a more advanced alternative like JavaScript and PowerShell. According to the Microsoft program manager, Naveen Shankar, technology has advanced over the years, giving rise to more powerful and versatile scripting languages such as JavaScript and PowerShell. These languages offer broader capabilities and are better suited for modern web development and automation tasks. The scripting language also called Visual Basic Scripting Edition was first introduced by Microsoft in 1996, and it has found its demise in 2024 at the tender age of 18. Oh, how quick we are to throw away the young. The announced depreciation plan consists of three phases, with the first phase kicking off in the second half of this year, at which VPS will only be available on demand feature in Windows 11. The second phase will commence around 2027. At the tender age of 21, the feature will be on demand but will no longer be enabled by default, and it's expected to be fully retired at some undetermined date in the future. How sad is that? Microsoft itself is running into hot water with the recall. News of VPS depreciation also follows criticism of Microsoft's newly announced AI-powered recall feature that possesses privacy concern and undermines Windows security. Recall has been advertised as an explorable timeline of your PC's past and a way for users to access virtually what you have seen or done on your PC in a way that feels like having a photographic memory. I feel like we're living in a Hollywood rendition of any movie that highlighted AI. According to Microsoft's own documentation, the system component periodically saves snapshot of users' active windows and stores them locally, then makes use of screen segmentation and image recognition to extract insights from them and save the date in a semantic index. Third-party app developers could also leverage this feature by offering users the ability to semantically search these saved snapshots and surface content related to their application. I was watching the IR on X yesterday with people talking about this. I get why you're ired. Absolutely. You know that chatbot that everyone tells you? It's great. It's awesome. Totally. More chatbots. Well, apparently new research shows they're horrible at security and they're really, really bad for you. So customer chatbots that are built on the general purpose Gen AI engines are proliferating. They're easy to develop, hard to secure. Ashley Beauchamp tricked DPD's chatbot into behaving unconventionally back in January of this year. The chatbot told him how bad DPD service is, swore, and even composed a disparaging haiku about its owner. DPD shut down the chatbot, blamed the error following an update. Others were not so sure. The output bears all the hallmarks of jailbreaking or breaching AI guardrails through prompt engineering. Immersive Labs, not surprised, from June to September of last year, it ran a public online challenge to determine whether, and if so, how easily a chatbot could be jailbroken by prompt engineering. The results, which were just published and analyzed, are not reassuring. The more than 34,000 participants that completed the challenge of obtaining secret information from an Immersive Lab chatbot set at 10 increasingly protected levels, collecting and analyzing the attempts at prompt engineering. The firm was able to couch the psychology of prompt engineers and security of chatbots. First, you need to understand chatbots that generally sit on top of one of the large-scale publicly available Gen AI, most often either a ChatGPT or any one of those. So there's that. In theory, the user queries and the chatbot replies are protected by ChatGPT's guardrails. However, the Immersive Labs chatbot challenge demonstrated this may not be enough. At a low level of difficulty, the chatbot was simply instructed not to reveal the word password. 88% of the prompt injection challenge participants successfully tricked it into revealing its password. It's worse than humans. 88% of people know not to share their password. At a level of increased difficulty, success decreased. At the third level, the chatbot was additionally instructed not to translate the password and to deny any knowledge of it, yet 83% of participants still succeeded at obtaining it. At each subsequent level, the chatbot was given additional guardrail for data loss prevention techniques that were introduced at level 4, and yet 71% of those prompt engineers were still successful. Success continued to drop, however, with each level of difficulty. That's the good sign. However, it goes into, you know, how much time is invested in a chatbot. By the final level of 10, 17% of participants still defeated the guardrails. So now we're hitting actual phishing numbers. A key takeaway from the challenge is that chatbot instructions and guardrails are just not sufficient. Well, you'd say that again, wouldn't you? Let's move to another story where security researchers are warning that China-linked state-backed attackers are increasingly relying on a vast proxy server network created from a VPS and compromised online devices for espionage operation relay box, operational relay box, ORBs networks. These proxy are meshes and administered by independent cyber criminals that provide access to multiple APTs. ORBs are similar to botnets, but they may be a hybrid of commercially leased VPS services and compromised devices, including some end-of-life routers or any sort of IoT products. The cybersecurity firm Manian's been tracking ORBs, two of them used by APTs known for espionage and IP theft, with operations linked to the Chinese. One of them, ORB3, also known as Space Hop, is a very active network leveraged by multiple China Nexus threat actors, including APT5 and 15. For instance, Space Hop was used in December of 2022 to exploit CVE-2022-271-27518, a critical vulnerability in the Citrix ADC and Gateway, which the NSA linked to APT5, also known as Mulberry Typhoon or Keyhole Panda. Maniac researchers say that Space Hop is a provisioned network that uses a relay server hosted in Hong Kong or China by a cloud provider. They install an open source command and control framework that allows managing downstream nodes. Those relay nodes are typically cloned Linux-based images, and the role is to proxy malicious traffic to an exit node that communicates with the targeted victim network. So there's a few of those. You can check those out as well. More China news in the fact that they are abusing a previously unknown actor from China, Unfading Sea Haze, has been targeting military and government entities in the South China Sea region since at least 2018, remaining undetected throughout that entire period. As it is typical with state-sponsored Chinese threat actors, the Unfading Sea Haze demonstrates operational TTPs and toolset overlaps with other activity cluster, notably APT-41. Their attacks start with a spear phishing emails carrying malicious zip archives that contain LNK files disguised as documents. As of March of this year, the latest lures used in these attacks concern U.S. political topics, while the zips were deceptively named to appear like Windows Defender installers or updates. These LNK files contain a long obfuscated PowerShell command that will check the presence of an ESAT executable or ekern.exe. If it exists, it halts the attack. If the executable is not found, the PowerShell script will perform an interesting trick, launch a fileless malware directly into memory using Microsoft's legitimate msbuild.exe command line compiler. The criminals start a msbuild process with a twist. They specify a working directory located on a remote SMB server like 154.90.34.83. As one way of doing it, and they're leveraging Microsoft build for that. Once they have access has been established, they'll use a custom keylogger named XKeylog to capture the victim's keystrokes, an info stealer targeting data stored in Chrome, Firefox, or Edge, and various PowerShell scripts to extract information from the browser database. Bitdefender has seen the deployment of Silent Ghost, Insidious Ghost, and Translucent Ghost, Ethereal Ghost, and Fluffy Ghost as some of the variants here of the Ghost RAT malware used in these types of attacks. The Advanced Research Project Agency for Health, the ARPA-H, pledged $50 million to bring hospital IT staff, equipment managers, and cybersecurity experts to create software that helps hospitals become cyber resilient. The funding agency created by the Biden administration is centered on investing in breakthrough technology in the medical and healthcare field, although one would wonder what they could do with 50 mil. The program called Universal Patching and Remediation for Autonomous Defense aims to automate cyber threat solutions and create a platform that will evaluate potential vulnerabilities through simulations and adapt to any hospital environment across a wide array of common services. You could have bought a product. So there's that. $50 million going there. The Intercontinental Exchange, also known as ICE, will pay a $10 million penalty to settle charges brought to them by the SEC after failing to ensure its subsidiaries promptly reported the April 2021 VPN security breach. ICE, an American company listed on the Fortune 500, owns and operates several financial exchanges and clearinghouses worldwide, including the New York Stock Exchange. In 2023, it employed over 13,000 people, reported a revenue of nearly $10 billion. As regulation, systems, compliance, and integrity requires, firms will immediately notify the SEC about security incident intrusions and provide an update within 24 hours unless they determine the impact of their operation or market participants is negligible. According to the SEC, the respondent subject to notify the SEC of the intrusion at issue as required. And so because of that failure, they were fined $10 million there. Microsoft President Brad Smith is set to testify on June 13th about Microsoft security shortcomings in front of the Committee of Homeland Security. So that would be something we will follow here closely and hopefully bring you maybe in a live stream as that's going on. That's it for our show this morning. We'll be back on Monday's Memorial Day. I'll be doing a brief show on Monday evening and then full show back up and running Tuesday morning, 9 a.m. Eastern. Go check that out. Tomorrow, Chris Fallone and I will be hanging out, still talking frameworks, 11 a.m. Eastern. Tune in to that. Till then, have a great rest of your day. Most importantly, stay cyber safe.
We love feedback, so make sure to connect with us on social media and subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform.